This is episode number 355 with the ladies of Cruella.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
What is up, everyone? I am so jazzed up for this one. I'll tell you why. We've got two sisters on. They came in live in the Greatness Studios, Jahan and Yasmin, the sisters of Cruella. And I told them that I listened to one of their songs on repeat over and over many days when I was writing the School of Greatness book, the book that so many of you have and love. And they're a big inspiration behind it because I just fell in love with these girls. And I got to meet them a few months ago and I said, I got to get them on. So we're bringing them on today. And if you don't know who Cruella is, they are the electro punk sister duo who have grown into symbols of female empowerment. Now, with heavy rock and dance influences, the girls first burst into the scene with their Play Hard EP in 2011. And they were one of the few female dance groups to secure major club residencies and festival appearances. And with the platinum hit Alive under their belt, the evolution into a live rock and dance hybrid act continues into 2016 as they prepare to release their second album. These girls are incredible. I was just blown away by everything that they're about, everything that they said that you're about to hear right now. And some of the main things we covered were why people don't see the arts as a legitimate career and how they overcame that stigma growing up. Also, they recently went through a breakup in their band and in their group, and they talk about how they emotionally handled the breakup of it and what they dealt with going through in their careers through this process. They then talk about the careers that Jahan and Yasmin wanted to pursue before they started their music career, their top fears as their success grows, how to find peace of mind when there's so much going on, so much attention, so much travel, so much music making, and everything's happening at once, and so much more. They said at the end that this is one of their favorite interviews they've ever done. And I love that because I feel like we really went a lot of great places. So I hope you guys enjoy this one. I am super excited to bring them on and share with you their wealth of wisdom and knowledge and their incredible joy. They're incredible human beings. So I hope you guys make sure to follow them, connect with them. Go download Alive right now. This is the song again that I played over and over when I was writing the School of Greatness book. So go download that. I love the acoustic version, which I just played on YouTube over and over, and it's mesmerizing. So go check them out. Follow them, subscribe to them, go see them live, and make sure to check out the full show notes at lewishowes.com/355. Check out the full video interview there as well, and share this with your friends. Tweet it out, lewishowes.com/355. Share the video, the show notes, the audio, and get ready to connect with the one, the only Cruella.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent, all in the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. They know how to help you win the right home at the right price. So download the Redfin app to get started today.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Welcome everyone back to School of Greatness podcast. Very excited about our guest. We have Cruella in the house. Thanks for coming in, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
I'm super excited. You know, about a year ago, I actually came out with this book about 7 months ago. And for the year prior to that, I was working on it like consistently every day, grinding away, probably like how you would with an album in the studio. And there was one song that I would put on YouTube, and Tiff knows about this. It was on YouTube constantly during this time. And can you guys guess what the song was? And it was a video.
Is it one of ours?
It's one of yours.
Oh, this is exciting.
Can you guess?
It was something that had to keep you motivated, you're saying? Or like,
it was a song that I just really loved.
Oh, and it was in the background as you were
I would put it on repeat
away.
For days.
If you're going to say Alive, I'm like, how did you work with that on repeat? Because it's so high energy.
It's Alive. It's the acoustic version.
Oh, the acoustic version.
The acoustic Alive version. I feel like it's like one of my favorite songs to, for some reason, just stay motivated, inspired, and in the zone.
I'm honored.
I mean, I love the original.
One ear on the song, and then you were typing.
I listen to like house music while I'm like typing. I just get in the zone somehow when I'm like working or working out. I just can just focus. But your song like put me in a trance. It just always made me inspired.
Cool,
so you were behind me writing my book and having that come to life. So
that feels
I appreciate
incredible. Thank you.
All the energy and the work you put in with your music. It's making an impact. So,
and
when I met you guys, I was like, I have to get these girls on. Because I met you guys at Adam in Q's event a few months back, and I was like, all right, we got to make this happen. So I'm glad we made it happen.
We know too many of the same people.
And a lot of
the
same
people.
It was
bound to happen.
I'm glad we made it happen. And I saw Gary Vee had you on like a week ago.
Yes.
I was like, dang it, he had you on first.
We live in the same city.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So thanks for writing that song and making that happen.
You're welcome.
For me and for the world.
Thank you for writing the book now.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Seriously.
I'll get you a copy.
Cool.
How did that song, was that kind of like the big hit for you guys? Was that like the breakthrough song that like put you guys on the map, or was it another song before then?
It was definitely the mainstream song that put us on the map. There were a couple others before that were the underground viral things, but that one really put us on the mainstream.
That's
outside
cool.
of the EDM bubble map.
Right.
Yes.
Cool. And was that like a top 10 on the radio, or what was that like?
I think it was top 10 radio.
Wow.
I only know this because we were following religiously on the charts. This was the first time it had ever happened to us. And I think we made it to like 32 on the Billboard charts. And it was really, a really exciting time for us.
Amazing. And you guys were like 19, 20 then, or what?
I was 20 when the song came out.
Wow.
So I was 22.
Was I? Yes. 20 when the song came out. And then it started charting maybe when I was 21 and you were 23.
I stopped keeping track of age at 21.
Yeah.
Like everything
it
after
blurs
that.
Together.
And both of you didn't go to college, right?
I did. I was close to graduating University of Illinois at Chicago.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Senior
dropped
year
out
you
for
dropped,
Cruella.
Senior year you dropped out?
I don't really know what year it would be because I took time off. Like I went to community college first, took some time off, went to university. So I don't really know technically.
How many credits away from graduating were you? Do you know?
I don't know that either. But I do plan on going back someday.
Really?
Like,
same.
Maybe in a couple decades.
You didn't go at all, huh?
No, I did not go at all to college. But I really love school. I loved everything about school. I mean, I loved Cruella more, which is why this happened. But
yeah.
I definitely want to go back to school someday.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And who was the most influential person in your guys' lives growing up? Was it the same person for each of you or different?
It's like someone we know personally.
Yeah, who was the most influential person in your life growing up?
I was actually catching up with my girlfriend I was telling you about, Sylvia. She's a high school girlfriend, so I've known her for 10 years. I was talking to her last night.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was talking to her, I was like, you are a huge reason I am the way I am. Like
really?
Just everything from my behavior to, just the way I look at life. Because at that age, when we met at 16, you're so malleable and you're so easily influenced by people you meet and you kind of pick up on certain character traits. And I really think that she influenced me, and I'm the way I am because of her.
What is it about her that you love the most?
I was really shy before I met her, and watching her interact, and I couldn't talk to boys before I met her. So watching her interact and seeing her confidence with people, it was a model for me to see how I can just, you know, stand up for myself and speak my mind and like communicate with guys. It's because we were raised in a really sheltered household. So I was always like, it felt like kind of,
men just, are off limits.
Yeah,
really?
It's not like that anymore.
Couldn't have boyfriends, couldn't date guys in high school.
So I didn't really know how to talk to guys without getting really giddy or shy. Or
interesting. You know, I didn't know how to talk. I wanted to talk to girls, but I didn't have the confidence either. And when I was 16, was it 16 when you started talking to guys? It was about 16 when I started like finally going out there and talking to girls. And I remember I gave myself a challenge in a summer from 16 to 17. Where I said, I'm sick and tired of feeling like rejected all the time and not having the confidence to go up and say hi to girls. So one summer, I every single day, I made a commitment to myself that I was going to go up to any girl that gave me butterflies. I had to go up and say hi.
Oh, that's
it was like
fantastic.
A game I played. Yeah, it was like a game. That's I was great. Like, every day I have to go up and ask her for a number and just say hi and ask for a number. And at the end of the summer, I felt like I could talk to anyone. You know, it was kind of the first
No matter
weeks.
The rejection.
Yeah,
yeah
I was just like,
anything.
Whatever. People are going to reject me. And it's just like, who cares?
That's
you know?
Great.
I got over that fear.
Yeah.
And it changed my life,
it's
you know?
Practice.
It's all yeah. practice and putting yourself out there. I mean, that's crazy. And so what about you? Who is the most influential in your life?
I do have to say I'm super close with our mom now, but growing up, our dad was my everything.
Really?
I
Why?
Mean, I was so much like him. I was the baby of the family. And
I'm the baby.
Yes. I don't know. He would just include me in everything he did. And I feel like I learned so much about him from work ethic to just the mental state you are in when you're trying to focus on things. And I respect him so much. He's definitely my hero.
What's the biggest lesson about the mental side of things that he taught you?
Well, watching him grow from, I think our parents got divorced when he was 50, I would say.
How old were you guys?
16.
Okay.
And
but the same age for me when my parents divorced.
Yeah. It was a really hard time for both of our parents, but watching both of their transformations from going from that horrible mess to growing out of it and becoming a better person because of
both
it.
Both of them or your dad?
Yes. They've both grown so much since and they're both amazing now. And
that's great.
Just watching that is you can control your mental state so much if you really put your mind to it.
Sure.
And our father really put his mind to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And was your dad more influential for you growing up or your mom, you think?
I think I was just in my own world growing up.
Really?
I was really... Yeah, I think I was so caught up in just stupid teenage... I shouldn't say stupid because it's something we all experience,
right, right.
but caught up in feeling accepted and trying to fit in. So I was kind of... I'd say I was in this little bubble and just kind of unaware, oblivious to what was going on in the family. And I didn't really have family values that I do now.
Right.
Even though it was so important.
You didn't have family values then?
To show up at dinner, for example, every night.
Gotcha.
I did that kind of stuff, but I didn't... I think I took my parents for granted growing up because I was just so focused on things like, you know, who I am and
what you're
where
wearing.
Is stupid kind of petty stuff when you look back, but stuff that
really
seemed like the world
age.
When you're a teenager. Like your identity, what your purpose is in life, stuff I still think about too.
Right. I think a lot of us go through that though. I mean, I took my parents for granted all the time, you know? Did you? Or were you kind of like always there with your parents?
I don't know. I loved everything about our family. I definitely was in my own world. I'm in the same way. I think I holed up in my room and just sat on the computer
right.
or read my books and didn't communicate with my family enough. But I think I put them first always. I don't know. Cause I always was the person who said, if I don't want to regret anything, if I ever lose them tomorrow.
Right.
And obviously I wasn't perfect as a child. I think there were so many times where I neglected.
Perfect.
I wasn't. I definitely neglected things that I shouldn't have when I was like 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, maybe even 19. But
sure.
Now it's like our family is our first thing,
that's
no
cool.
matter what.
Yeah, you said most of them all came out here
yeah.
with you guys.
Yeah, because we're that close.
We're trying to get our mom out here. She's the last remaining one.
Why is she waiting? What's she holding on to?
I don't know. You should tell her.
Come on, mom. Get out here.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
That's what, as I've gotten older, I realized that this whole notion of, you know, as you get older, you part ways with people and it's just normal to live separately from your social group that you grew up with or your family. And I just want to rebel against that. I don't think we have to follow this idea, this that's, you know, that we're socialized to think at a young age that you just separate.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's just mostly an American culture, right?
Yeah,
like
in
South America, you know, children live together until they're 30 or 40, right? With their parents.
Which is
beautiful.
Be
it's
hey, it's nothing wrong with it, I don't think. But we've just been so conditioned, you know, that
yeah,
way.
Exactly. So but what we're trying to do is just get everyone out here.
I like
because
that.
I think it makes your life so rich, having family dinners every weekend.
You know,
yeah.
One of the things I want to do is bring everyone out here as well and just have like a compound where I have like different homes on one plot.
I love that.
Like different guest houses. So
is your
like,
whole family in Ohio still?
Some are in Ohio, some are in North Carolina.
Oh,
yeah.
That's far.
And my mom's in Illinois. So, but I would like to have my own space, but to have them be able to like walk across the lawn and like,
that's so cool,
you know, hang out or whatever I want to. So
that would be great. The life.
It would be the life. Really, yeah. So it's kind of like one of the reasons I'm driven to build my own empire to be able to create that. So
that's beautiful.
In the end, we do everything for our families. Right? Yeah. I mean, I think I can't remember who I read, like someone tweeted this amazing thing the other day, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember who, so I can't give credit, but they said, you're never really done working until your parents are done working. Mm. And that's so true. If I were to stop hustling now, both of us, I would always think, I didn't set my parents up. I didn't give them the world. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's one of the main reasons I am motivated.
Mm-hmm. They gave us the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, they brought us into this world, and we have an incredible opportunity to experience life. And I feel like it's our responsibility to give back as well.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
When did you guys start singing and being into music?
We grew up in a really musical household. Our parents didn't play instruments, but they're always playing music in the living room, like on long road trips, whether it was moving from Texas, which is where we were born, to Northbrook, and which is the suburb of Chicago.
What suburb is that?
It's north of the city, 20 minutes north. It's almost like a straight shot
north.
Yeah.
I lived in Arlington Heights for a summer.
Oh, we know where that is.
Wow.
Yeah. Close to where you guys are.
Yeah, were you there?
I was doing like an internship my senior year in college.
Oh, nice.
For what?
Like a sports in Arlington Heights. Sports marketing place.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's such a small world.
My buddy lived in Arlington Heights and I stayed with him. And
we know exactly where that is.
Yeah, right next to Schaumburg. But we were like, go to the Taste of the 4th of July. The Taste was amazing.
Oh, like Taste
on Randall.
Taste of July. Taste of Chicago. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'd go to Wrigley games or the games at Wrigley Field and
the festivals are amazing in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the best summers.
It's a very community based city.
It was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take the train in, and it was just like, it was a lot of fun. Sorry, what did I ask you guys?
We went
from food to music, which happens often.
Right?
We grew up in a household that was just, you know, there was always music playing, and because we're half Pakistani, our dad was born in Pakistan, our mom is American, European, we grew up on this really eclectic music.
That's cool.
So we grew up on Bollywood music.
That's cool.
Even though we don't speak Hindi or understand it, we'd always have to have our dad translate for us. We'd be like, what are we saying? Janam Sam Jakaro. And we're like, we're repeating these lyrics that are total gibberish to us.
Right.
And we'd have him translate.
That's funny.
And then our mom was always into like heavy stuff back in the day, you know, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin. And then because of our generation, we grew up on the internet. Uh-huh. So we always had like, we were there from the birth of blogs and also like LimeWire and these music sharing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. I spent hours on that. So that, but I give so much credit to LimeWire for shaping my music taste, because at my fingertips, I could search any song.
Right.
And I was really into, I went through a phase where I was.
Is LimeWire really like Napster or what is this?
Yeah, it was right around the same time.
Gotcha.
You could get any obscure indie song, and it shaped my taste because I could collect this music from, you know, one song from one indie artist. And because of that access, we grew up on everything. So pretty much every genre you can imagine, from pop to heavy metal to Bollywood music, like I said, to emo, indie.
New wave 80s.
When did you guys start singing then?
We started singing when we met Chris, who we started Cruella with in 2007.
You're no longer with anymore, right?
We're not with him anymore. But
that was in high school, or
that was in high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was
a baby. Freshman.
Wow, you were a junior then, or
she was a senior when I was a freshman.
Wow,
just because you were a youngin in your grade, were you the youngest in your grade? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we started singing long before that, though.
But that's when it became.
It was more of a professional thing around then, but we were.
I was in choir
goofing
pretty much
off.
My whole life.
I was in choir my whole life too.
Really?
My parents were opera majors at Ohio State.
Oh my God.
And so music was a huge part of our lives. Although I was the youngest, so my three older siblings were more involved in music. I was more involved in sports. My brother is actually the number one jazz violinist in the world.
That's incredible.
He played with Les Paul for 10 years in New York and travels
amazing.
The world. And
so
I was always around it. You did?
6 years.
There you go.
I was first chair.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it.
Thanks, man.
Impressive.
So it was always a part of our life.
That's cool.
But we never, I think growing up, another thing we're socialized to think is that anything that's in the arts kind of seems like it can't really be a legitimate career. And I think that's also how you grow up and what kind of school you go to and what your parenting is like. But I grew up kind of thinking it seems like some fantasy. That it just seems so unrealistic.
To be able to sing and have a career.
Yeah, it just seemed like something, you have to like grow up in Hollywood or in LA to have a career in that. So I think part of it was the chemistry of meeting Chris and meeting someone who complimented our writing and our voices. That was a huge part of actually seeing this.
Help package it and make your vision come alive.
Product, yeah.
Interesting. So you guys were producing songs when you were in high school then? Mm-hmm. You're producing like underground songs at the time or?
Yeah, we made so many songs from the year 2007 to 2011 that never came out.
Really?
Yes.
So it was kind of like practice reps. That's what I call that.
Yeah. We put them up on MySpace at one point to be taken down almost immediately because they were not so great. But 2011 is when we first really released music. That was our debut, even though we had been a band for years before
Were you playing in Chicago, like underground scene for a while, or were you?
We had our
like
first
house parties or?
No, more like one person at a bar.
It was really bad in the beginning. I think, what's the Manor? Was our first?
I've been to Manor.
In Chicago?
The club with like three different levels or whatever. I saw Ferry Corson there.
Really?
Oh, wow.
In 2004 or 2003.
That's
and
insane.
It blew my mind. I was like, just jamming for hours, like in a trance with this guy. It was unbelievable.
That's great.
That's cool.
I saw Paul Oakenfold there one time, Ferry Corson. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be so into that stuff.
We were at we were playing at the top level where everyone kind
doesn't
of
go
like,
or what?
They're kind
come
of,
and go.
They're kind of in and out. It's like the in and out kind of room. And I remember
in and out room.
So nervous.
What year was this?
This was 2011. I think it was about a month. Or maybe even 2 weeks after we first released music.
It was one of our first DJ shows.
It was our first DJ.
One of our first times
DJing. So you're playing, you're DJing and you're singing.
No, we were just DJing then.
Gotcha. You weren't singing.
Not yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Sweet and I had just learned how to DJ because we first were songwriters.
Uh-huh.
And then when we started releasing music, we didn't think it would hit. We didn't think it would click. We were kind of just like experimenting. So when we saw that we actually were garnering this audience, this small audience, we were like, shit, how do we perform this? It's electronic music. And then we realized that and that's what kind of prompted us to learn how to DJ.
Wow.
It lit a fire under our ass to be like, hey, we have to learn how to perform this.
You can kind of make money with DJing, right? You're like, maybe we can do shows and do something with this.
It also made more sense. We couldn't just get up there and sing for five people. It's so much easier to get up there and DJ for five people because it's just more inclusive. Nobody's like, I don't care about this chick singing at me right now.
Right.
I just want to dance. So it was a foot in the door also.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So how long were you guys doing that for?
We were just DJing until, when was Australia? That was November 2012. So for about a year, we were strictly DJing and then we incorporated the live vocals. And then just about a year and a half ago, we incorporated a band. So it's been an evolution of the show for years.
So it's a band, you're singing, DJing, and there's a band.
And we have a guitarist and drummer. And I'm sure that will evolve in time as well. I mean, this is the first step of the band.
I'm excited to watch it now live.
Yes.
This is going to be amazing. Wow. Okay.
Range Rover Sport leads by example. Picture this. Assertive on-road performance meets commanding all-terrain capability. That's the third generation Range Rover Sport, which is the most desirable, advanced, and dynamically capable one yet. This vehicle redefines sporting luxury, offering an instinctive drive with engaging on-road dynamics and effortless composure. Now available in sleek, new Stealth Pack, Carpathian gray exterior wrapped in satin protective film with black accents and black brake calipers. Inside the Range Rover Sport, advanced cabin technologies like active noise cancellation and cabin air purification offer new levels of comfort and refinement. And let's not forget about the award-winning Pivi Pro infotainment system. Enjoy a dynamic drive and total comfort with optional 22-way adjustable, heated, and ventilated electric memory front seats with massage function. Wow, that's like a spa day while on the go. Design your Range Rover Sport at LandRoverUSA.com. One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So what happened to you when the Alive kind of took off and other songs kind of took off and you started getting popularity? What happened after that? When you were kind of like
you're
this underground,
nonstop,
really?
Nonstop.
Yeah. Was it like everyone wanted you on the tours, or what? What happened?
I think we played over 200 shows 1 year.
It's like Warped Tour, or is it like which tours?
Oh, I wish.
But yeah, that would.
We
be
had
cool.
our
that
own headlining true. Tour oh, in great. 2013, and that was amazing. One of the best tour experiences we've ever had. And
your
then,
tour, it was your own tour.
Yes, and that was wow. North America. Immediately after that, we went to Europe, Asia.
South America.
And then we came back to America and did another entire North American tour. Mm. Within 8 months of each other, we did two headlining huge North American wow. tours. And so we were touring almost every day of our lives, it felt like. Yeah.
And then when we really came back to LA for like a 3 day, 5 day break, we were in the studio.
Because mm-hmm. we were trying to make
you
the
were
next
in this
album.
Building.
Yeah. We were in this building. That's funny. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So it didn't really, like, when you talk about Alive, I don't think it really hit us because
you were already touring.
We were touring and we were so caught up in what's next mm-hmm. and how to maintain touring and maintain our sanity on the road. Mm-hmm. So I think we didn't really get a moment to be like, hey, like, congratulations, guys, and to, you know, the other two members and say like, hey, we did it, what we worked on mm-hmm. for so long. And I think that's kind of our mentality. Like, Yasmin and I are always, like, before we released the EP, Yasmin and I were like, let's plan an EP release party. We've never done that before with our, you know, the people we've worked with and our friends, and just put together some really cool creative yeah. party, invite some fans too. And we never did it. When the EP was dropped, we were like, we'll do it for the album. So that's kind of our mentality where we never really, like, celebrate in that sense where we feel like the work is done.
Really?
Cause we're always on to what's next.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad if you think about it.
We have other ways of celebrating
yes.
where
I'm
it's
sure
like
every night when you're touring, you're like partying.
Yeah,
and
yeah. It feels like that. It really
like,
does.
It's amazing. You're like hugging, you know, whatever. So
yeah.
Interesting.
That's not to say we don't appreciate it, because I wake up and I'm grateful every single day. Because mm-hmm. I, as cliche as it sounds, I feel like I'm living a dream. Like at 16 years old, living, like I never thought that living in California, working on music and that being my career could have been.
Touring in front of yeah. tens of thousands of fans, yeah. right? How many people show up usually at on a tour?
Depends what kind of tour it is. The Get Wet tour that we did in 2013 and the following tour happened a couple of years, months later, was in front of like 1,000 to 3,000 mm-hmm. people a night. But this September, the Sweatbox tour is going to be a smaller scale, kind of back to our roots is what we're trying to yeah. do. We're touring mostly in like punk rock venues and stuff.
That's cool.
If you've ever heard of Churchill's in Miami, it's like a classic punk rock venue okay. and we're rocking those venues and it's going to be 300 to 500 people. And then after that, we're going to go back to a bigger tour, but we just wanted to get back into our own headlining tour, really targeting those main core, we call them our core crew.
Sure.
The people who were there from day one, they're our ride or dies. They'll do anything for us. We'll do anything for them. Those are the people we want in those rooms. And then we'll move on from there.
That's cool. Yeah. What was the dream always to be singers or to be musicians or? As kids, growing up, did you guys talk about that a lot? Were you like, this would be amazing, or did it just kind of started unfolding?
I think it unfolded. Mm-hmm. I don't think Yasmin and I talked about this as kids at all, as in like, let's make this our career.
This is our vision. This is our plan. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're kind of, as a kid, like I was always floating to kind of going from like just discovering myself, going from thinking I was going to be a graphic designer to, you know, even when I started college, like, you know, going into, you know, I was studying theory, like mass media theory, like completely opposite of what we're doing now, because it was very like theoretical and less creative. But, and then Yasmin, you even wanted to go into engineering when you were a kid.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted to go into industrial engineering.
Why?
I love how things work. I still do. Yeah. Huh. And I don't know how that was my thing and now this is my thing, but I feel like both are still, both are me, but just different phases in life.
Sure.
Yeah. I feel like that's part of growing up though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
And I know few people who, one of my other good friends, Alex, she does horse training and she's a painter. Those are two things she did since 5 years old, since wow. I've known her. And there's so few people like that who have really stuck to something and focused their entire life. Like 20 years later, she's doing that.
Yeah. I feel like I'm always reinventing myself or doing something new, or I feel like I need to learn a new skill constantly too. I feel like I might be like that too.
Like, I'm so excited.
I'm a little bored if I'm like,
yeah.
If I've mastered something, it's like, all right, I want to master something else.
Yeah. You know? I just bought a camera 2 days ago.
What kind of camera?
It's a Canon PowerShot.
What do we have? Do we have one of those or no? We do.
I just want to start learning how to take photos.
Yeah.
It was always, we were all in art classes, like our sister as well, in high school and all that stuff. And I always looked at photography like this foreign thing that I didn't understand. I love painting and drawing, but photography was like, I don't know. I don't get it. And now over the years, we have this friend, Rory, who's starting to teach me how to take photos. I've watched his photos change and develop and all these other photographers we know. And I'm like,
dang it. I could have been
amazing.
Doing that.
Yeah. I want to learn how to do that.
That's so cool.
That's my newest thing.
So you guys both have a lot of tattoos. How many tattoos do you guys each have?
They kind of all blend together. So can it all count as one?
They all
see, like, yeah, like this, I have one on my back, which attaches to, like, let's see, which one is this? I don't even know what I'm pointing to. Is this 6810?
Yep.
Yes. 6810 came first. Then the rose came around.
That was the first one.
6810 was the first tattoo. Mm-hmm. Yasmin got it for me for my 21st birthday. Was
it 22nd
birthday?
Yeah, my little sister.
Did you get one as well?
I got the same one in a different font.
And is that the day you guys joined the band?
That's our dedication day. So we had been a band since 2007, but 6810, June 8th, 2010 was the dedication day. Jahan dropped out of college.
Wow. You said we're committed to this.
Yes. Yeah. It was a couple days after I graduated high school.
Wow.
So it was the date when Chris was in the group, we all three decided this is going to be the no turning back day. Who knows what's going to happen? We might not go anywhere, but we're going to try at least.
Wow. So, did he get a tattoo as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And our manager, Nathan, our other manager.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that awkward that he's not in the group anymore? He's still got the tattoo?
No, I don't.
It's more of a symbol of
it. It is a symbol. I think he took this amazing risk with us. Mm-hmm. We were like the three inseparable people and we took this incredible risk together. Mm-hmm. You can't erase something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
It changed his whole life too. And he gets to make music now. And that's brilliant.
He's doing his thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's really gifted and talented.
He's so talented. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So what was that like when you guys, I guess, kind of broke up or were going through the hardships?
The divorce.
Yeah, the divorce of the band. I mean, I can only imagine, you know, you guys build something together and have these experiences that are unbelievable. And then there's this tension and for whatever reason, things aren't working out. How did you guys emotionally handle that? Because I can only imagine what that would feel like. And how did that help your creative process in making music? Did that frustration, you know, curate that or did it kind of hold you guys back in any way?
I think to answer your first question about how we handled it emotionally, I think it kind of created this anxiety in me that I never had before. I never considered myself to be an anxious person. So it really showed how certain events in life can trigger that or like open this new area of your mind that I never felt before. But if any, I don't regret anything, as in I feel like everything is meant to happen for a reason. So I feel like we're probably all in a mentally healthier situation now. Healthier is in our relationships too. And I think it was really, it was helpful creatively in the sense that, it allowed us to focus more on storytelling with our songwriting and also tapping into experiences with our songwriting as well. And
do you feel like you weren't creatively storytelling before this?
Not as much.
We weren't able to reach this really vulnerable place in our storytelling, songwriting, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Maybe because we had never felt anything as deeply as that. I think it was, I mean, as much as we're cool with it now, when it happened, it was very traumatic for the both of us. And I will say there were moments where we were both emotional wrecks. And I mean, now we're cool and it's great to be able to look back on that and reflect and not feel any bitterness or sadness. But Yeah, I think that we reached this, and the fact that we went through it together, because we're writing all our music together. Sometimes it's hard to talk about an I when there's another person you're writing music with, but we go through every single thing in our lives together.
Sure.
And that was the biggest thing that had ever happened to either of us. And we got to share that experience, talk about how it affected us. And I remember another thing. We were in Asia on tour somewhere, and we were having one of our favorite free breakfasts. We live for those hotel free breakfasts.
It's amazing, right?
Yes. And we were just sitting there talking about how we don't want what happened to us to make us jaded in this music industry, but how it's going to be so hard to trust people in this industry again, and how as long as we have each other, we're cool. And I mean, we have each other's backs, but it's going to be hard to look at everything through rose-colored glasses. Is that phrase?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of instances that we all go through that close our hearts, that make us guarded and close-minded to other people or situations. And for you to say that is really tells me a lot about your character, that you're like essentially saying, I'm going to open my heart more, even though I was hurt or this was like the most anxiety situation I've had. But I'm going to stay open and not be jaded. I think it's really incredible. It speaks to your Midwestern hearts.
Oh, yeah. That's Chicago. We have to try to be that way, though, because that we both, you're the most skeptical person.
She's like already.
I think I'm naturally a more guarded person. Mm-hmm. It's maybe a way of protecting myself. So I do have to go through, I have to remind myself. I mean, I have this tattoo which says love all, hate none, trust few. But it's something like I have to find a way to open my heart and see everyone as someone I can love, but also at the same time really protect myself. And it's hard to
each other out, though, I think, because I think you protect us in that way. Mm. But I'm the naive one who's like, let's find the best in everybody. And I think we find our middle ground and we check each other on that stuff. Like, there's probably so many people that you've told me, like, what? Let's be careful or like whatever. And it turned out to be super right. And I'm thankful that we can have that.
Yeah, the yin and the yang or whatever.
Exactly.
Because I'm sure my instincts are wrong.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we just got yin and yang tattoos.
No way. Yeah. Well, there you go.
See, I don't even know what side it's on. Gosh. Like, that side or that side?
It's on that side.
I don't remember where I was bleeding on the side of my neck.
This one. These actually didn't hurt.
Didn't hurt at all.
This was nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
The neck?
My neck is just ripped now from headbanging on tour that I don't feel anything, which by the way, we shouldn't do anymore because Corey from Slipknot had to get neck surgery. That's why the show was,
From headbanging?
It's terrifying. Like I feel like when I found out about that, I was like, God, that would change my life I had to go through a surgery.
Also your vocal cords, if you're like swinging around that much.
Oh, God.
I don't think your vocal cords like that.
I mean, it probably explains my vocal issues.
I mean, just imagine
totally. Yeah. I'll probably have neck arthritis in 5 years.
Well, unless you stop right now.
I know.
And start doing some yoga.
It's so primal though.
Do you do yoga?
I do a lot of acro yoga with my girlfriend.
Is acro?
Yeah.
What is that?
Acro yoga. I'll show you
with
afterwards.
Your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Like together? Like sexy yoga?
Yeah, I guess.
Ooh,
sexy.
That's
awesome. It's like she's doing a handstand on my hands in the air, like in splits and different acrobatic type stuff.
That is incredible.
I'll show you photos and videos. Yeah.
Nice.
It's fun. You guys should do it.
Cool.
There's some other stuff that's not as complicated.
Okay.
I am. Your hands.
Second you say handstand, I'm like, I can't crack.
But yoga, here's the thing. I go through phases in yoga. Sometimes I'll do it like every day for a while, and other times it's like years when I won't do it. But I always feel more grounded and centered when I'm doing it. Mm. I always feel more flexible mentally and emotionally and physically when I do it.
You meditate too, right?
I meditate.
Every day?
I mean, I want to, but I don't do it every day. I mean, if I say I am, but I do it often. And usually before I go to bed and in the morning, 10 minutes, I use an app called Headspace.
Yep. Yeah, I've done it.
It's amazing, right? I've had the founder on it on here, and he's incredible. But I think and I always feel more grounded when I do that too. You know, I feel clearer. I don't react as much to people or situations.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So
it hasn't clicked for me yet. Like I tried meditating for like 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I find that I was looking at, actually I don't wear a watch, but I was like wanting to know what time it was.
Yeah.
And I know that's not, I know it's good for you and I want to, I want
you tried Headspace?
I did.
There's like 5 minute ones too you can do.
I think my mind is just, I have a racing mind. I've always had a racing mind. And I think I'm always thinking about like, hey, this is my 10 minutes to just think about stuff.
If you work out, do you work out often?
I do, yeah.
Really? And your mind still races if you do exhaust yourself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. What's your workout of choice?
I run a few times a week. I run our dog. Like I was telling you, we have a pit bull. She needs to be worked out. I hike. I do CrossFit sometimes.
I used to do
amateur
CrossFit.
Amateur CrossFitter, though. So, yeah. They can't do those handstand push-ups.
Are you a CrossFitter, too?
No, I'm a boxer.
Wow. I like kickboxing.
I do some kickboxing in my boxing, but my coach has been a boxing coach for 30 years, and she's a beast, and it is like my meditation.
That's cool. There you go.
It's my therapy. I don't ever imagine myself not doing this anymore. Mm. I just started five months ago.
It's amazing, right? The feeling.
I'm so in love with it. That's cool. Oh my God.
What's your guys' biggest fear? You know, you've had this success so far, this recognition, you're on tour, you've got these fans, you've got financial results, you know, you got your family together now, you're growing, you know, young women who are inspiring the world. Do you guys have any fears?
I have a lot of fears. I've always been a fearful person about really irrational stuff too.
I have some irrational fears.
What's the biggest fear right now for you?
For me, and I think this is more of a conflict I have in my head, we both work a lot. So I'm thinking about my career and maintaining Cruella and growing as an artist. But at the same time, I feel like doing that, I'm losing touch with people in my personal life. So I'm always trying to find this balance of how do you hustle, but then also keep people close to you. Yeah.
It's hard because it's like part of your, it's who you are, right?
And then also your relationship with yourself as well.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I have this fear of losing touch with myself and not giving back to myself, whether it's just time alone or collecting my energy. I have a fear of losing touch with people, whether people thinking that I'm too busy for them. I find a lot of people like it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's not like we're busier than our sister's job or anyone else who, it's not like what we're doing is on this like crazy level just because we're artists. But I have a lot of people who are usually saying, oh, I didn't want to bother you. You're always busy. You seem busy. And that kind of makes me sad that people have this perception of me that I don't have time to give them like 30 minutes on the phone to catch up with an old friend from back at home.
Yeah.
So I think it's that fear of people thinking I've changed in that way. And I still feel like the same girl. I mean, obviously we've evolved as people, but I really still feel like, you know, I am the same Jahan I was in high school.
Right. And what about you, Yasmin?
Greatest fear?
Yeah.
Because it's relevant in my life right now. I went through a breakup recently. It's okay. I actually feel very at peace right now, but I think a fear of mine with my loved ones in general is looking back on something and knowing I didn't give 100% of myself in a relationship.
You don't feel like you did in that relationship?
Maybe not. I'm not sure. I still need to reflect more.
Okay. Ours are very similar then. That's interesting.
Yeah. And I never want to look back on something in general, someone, something, and think I could have given so much more love there. Even with our parents, with my sister, with my best friends, you know, I never want to not be able to go back. Cause I mean, in certain relationships, you can't go back and change things. And I don't want to regret that.
Do you feel like you guys can achieve the dreams you want in your musical careers? And reach the pinnacle of whatever it looks like and give all the energy to that, but also have energy for everything else you're talking about?
There's no answer to that. You never know.
Like, is it possible to have a balanced life where you're like, oh, I'm only going to spend a couple hours on Cruella today, and then I'm going to spend a couple hours with the family, then myself. I mean, or is it go through phases for you guys?
Phases. Yeah. I think phases for sure.
So on tour, you're not going to be able to talk to people for 30 minutes here and there. You're going to be focused on the tour and giving your best and then recharging probably, you know, in the morning or something, right?
Some weeks we're so busy that we don't get to even see our family. And then other weeks, like yesterday, we had a cancellation of something. And so we had a whole day free. I just went and walked in nature with one of my best friends.
That's great.
And it's like, there is time for all these things. Yeah. Sometimes it'll come because of a cancellation or because you made the time or whatever it is. But I think it's possible.
Yeah.
If you stay grounded and balanced, which is something you need to work at, but it's possible.
Yeah.
So So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
What do you think is missing for both of you guys? Something that's missing in your life right now?
Peace of mind.
What would it take for you to get that?
I'm still figuring it out every day, whether it's what I was talking about before is finding that balance, because I don't have the answers. No one has the answers of what's right. You know, if the balance is right, or if hustling and knowing that people that love you will still be there for you if you cancel on them. So I think it's that, but these are all, you know, I'm making shit a bigger deal in my head than it needs to be. Like, we create our own problems.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that I'm spending so much energy thinking about that and like, oh, what am I going to do with my life? How am I going to keep my family knowing that I'm there for them, and keeping my friends knowing that too, while hustling with Cruella? The fact that I'm just putting so much energy and even thinking that, and rather just doing, I think that's what gives me those like racing thoughts I was telling you about before.
What do you think it would take for you to have peace of mind? Like, what would have to occur in your life to be like, oh, now I have peace of mind?
Probably what we were talking about before, meditation.
Really?
And practicing, just practicing different things that help me relax. Because I've always been the type of person who's like, I need to do something.
You
like,
can't hey, just I, relax. I, yeah.
Yeah. Even if doing something, even meaning like reading a book, I'm like, hey, I can't just like
meditating's
on a weekend
doing
on this.
Something.
It is. And it's, I need to like program myself to think that way.
Listening to a guided meditation is like listening to a long song. Like, Headspace is a guided meditation. Yeah. That's why I do it, because I can't just sit in silence personally. I need someone to guide me through the process. Otherwise,
easier.
I'm like, what's the next thing I want to write? What's, you know?
Same. That's what I would do.
But when I'm listening to someone, and it's more of like, I think of it like a sport. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do this right now. I'm turning on my app, and I'm going to listen and like allow my body to relax. And then I just go through the guided visualization. And for me, it's like I allow myself to relax, but also visualize my dreams at the same time. And I feel like it's extremely empowering.
I need to get into that. I'm fully aware that I probably need
10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Turn on the app and lay down. No other distractions. No dog. No sister. Nothing. You got to be in a room.
Because
then you're going to be focused on the dog.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to think of an excuse to do something else.
Yeah.
Like, I just lay in my bed and by myself and do it. So, something to think about.
I feel like I'm always thinking about how to kind of reprogram my brain to think differently too. And I feel like a lot of this, just like with working out, it's muscle memory.
Yeah, of course.
So your thoughts are the same way. It's if you give energy to certain thoughts, it becomes, you almost become addicted to certain negative thoughts and thought patterns. But you know, I'll even use the lawsuit as an example. It felt like the end of the world the morning we found out, and like my heart sunk, and just this feeling of heaviness all day, kind of like during a breakup. That's like what you feel like. What really helped me put things into perspective, and actually this is another way our dad has kind of taught us to think, but he says, you're not Obama, like no one's dying, the world isn't ending, like you're not going to war. And when I think about how minor something like this is in the grand scheme, you know, in the big picture, we exaggerate issues in our life. And when I think about sometimes I know it's morbid, but I think about like how a death didn't occur. No one I love died in that situation.
Yeah.
And how that would completely turn my life around. And how this is just a little bump, what we were going through at
small
the time.
Small stuff. compared to death. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think it's perspective. I have to like self-check in that way.
Right. Okay. So
I totally agree. Oh my God. Yeah.
No one died. Just say that.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. So peace of mind for Jahan. What about you? What's missing?
I think after yesterday when I spent the whole day in nature, I was thinking about it a lot. I think I'm missing nature in my life. And it might not be the only thing I'm missing. Sure. I'm probably missing many things in my life. But I think what you're saying is so relevant to how I felt yesterday, because I felt like this tiny speck in this beautiful – I was at Malibu Creek. And I just cliff dove into this beautiful creek and then just was just, you know, basking in this gorgeous day. And it felt like nothing else mattered. I felt the most present I had in weeks.
Wow.
And I was like, this is all that matters right now. And if I ever need to feel good again, I know exactly what to do.
That's cool.
Nature doesn't lie.
It does. Yeah, that's a beautiful quote.
Tweet that.
I don't know if I made that up. It does exist.
It does a lot.
God probably said
that's
it.
True. Okay, so you don't know how many tattoos you have, but you have a bunch, right?
I think I have about 15.
15.
I'm doing a mental count. I think it's 15.
What is if you had to do a tattoo on your forehead, that was reversed, so that when you looked in the mirror, only you could see it.
Okay.
What would you put on your forehead and why?
I thought of a kind of fucked up one.
Let's hear it.
It's like we were actually with Adam NQ, who's a mutual friend.
Yes, he's amazing.
And we were talking about the beauty of dogs and like how simple they are and how they live to survive and how, you know, they're not thinking about all these things about like, oh, am I good enough? Or actually, who knows? But I don't think my dog is really thinking like, oh, they're more successful than me, or like, oh, I'm not good enough.
Too
or
fat
like,
or whatever.
Yeah. Or is he talking to other girls? Like all that stuff that we spend so much time thinking about. So the simplicity of the way they think of just, I'm going to eat, I need to take a shit, and I want you to pet me.
That's it. Sleep.
So it'd be dog, or no, it'd be God. I don't think I'm God. Ooh. And in the mirror, it'd be dog, right?
Interesting. Would it? I don't know.
Yeah,
because it'd be flipped.
Oh,
it'd be completely, the letters would be flipped. So
it would have to be like a backwards dog.
What's that called when you reverse it?
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, it's not a palindrome. Like never mind. That's if it's the same backwards.
Because Adam said, hey, remember, dog backwards is God. And we were like, yeah. And he's like, not literally like your dog is God, but it's kind of a reminder that this simple creature, this piece of nature, is just a reminder of how simple our life can be.
Wow. Egoless.
Yeah, that's ego. Good. True. That's so true.
Mm. Okay, so that'd be your tattoo. What about you?
Oh my God. What word
or phrase or?
Oh, God. I don't want anything on my forehead, but.
You had to.
Oh my God, that chick who got the Drake tattoo on her forehead.
That's so funny.
I would never get Drake on my
dance
forehead.
Is so good.
It's great.
Oh,
the whole album, the whole new album. I feel like I'm Drake's plug right now. Yo, get views. Everybody get views. No, it's fantastic though. I would probably have to get maybe something like something in Arabic, maybe, because it looks beautiful, but I'd get maybe family or something like that. So every time I looked in the mirror and I would see the word family, I would want to hit up someone in my family.
That's
the most important thing to me. Why not get it on my forehead?
You guys know Scooter Braun?
Yeah. We don't know him, but we know he is.
He's been on the show. He's a buddy, and he has family tattooed right here.
It's constant reminder.
It's the most important thing.
I have our parents' names on my ring finger.
Wow, that's cool.
The ring finger is the only finger that has a vein that goes straight to the heart, which is why people they put their wedding rings on the ring finger.
I have no idea.
I was like, I'm probably not going to get married, but the people who are closest to my heart, my parents, I'll get them there.
So Sohail, Nita, she has Aisha on her back. She doesn't have my name though.
But we have so many tattoos together that it kind of counts.
You got a yin and a yang.
We do. Yeah. We have 6, 8, 10.
I do want to get a family tree.
You guys both have the name here?
Jahan has a
crew life
also.
That's
cool.
Yeah, we want to get a family tattoo. We've been trying to convince our family. I think our parents are getting closer to being okay with it.
I think our dad really wants to get a tattoo. He's gung-ho.
He doesn't work a corporate job anymore.
He's like, come on, let me show my gun.
Yeah, right? I can't remember what we were going to get, but we were going to get something
in Arabic, right?
Yeah.
I think that's such a beautiful thing, though. Like, treating tattoos as something that unifies people, whether it's like this crew life tattoo.
We have so many fans who have this tattoo.
Really?
And we're like,
that's amazing, right?
We flash them at each other.
So good.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I've been too terrified to get a tattoo. I've never felt like something's resonated with me enough. My dream's always to go to the Olympics, and I'm on the USA national team for a sport called team handball. We didn't qualify this year, but I'm still.
Wait, you're on an Olympic team?
I'm on the USA national team. We just did not qualify. Yeah, for team handball. It's like water polo on land. That's cool. Imagine that.
That's incredible. So do you think that would be something you would tattoo?
I would always think that I would get like the Olympic rings like when I was younger, but it's kind of cheesy, but I also think it's kind of means that's, like yeah, a mark dude. Of greatness. You know what I mean?
Talk about cheesy. Life is a dance floor. Come on.
But for me, I was like, I'm not going to get a tattoo until I reach that.
I understand that.
It's like, I used to have an ear ring piercing and a nipple ring piercing, actually. Not many people know I had a nipple ring piercing on the podcast, so you're bringing it out of me. Yeah.
Don't force it, the tattoo thing, though.
I don't want to force it. Because I just know so many of my friends who had them from, like, 19 are, like, getting them removed now. Because they don't like them. They're like, oh, it was a dumb idea. It didn't have meaning. I think it's got to have meaning for me, so... Anyways,
you're smart.
But even if it's a regret, I have a couple regret tattoos just because I don't like them aesthetically, like the one on my back.
Same.
I keep it and I don't even plan on removing it.
But you guys look so cool with them. You guys can pull it off.
Thank you.
You're just like, you got that thing.
It's a reminder of a phase, though.
Even if
you don't like it anymore, I'm like, you know, it reminds me of the headspace I was in when I was 21 and I had horrible taste when I was 21. So there we go.
There you go. You've grown so much. okay, I got a final few questions for you guys, and then I want to make sure I get you out of here. What's something you're really proud of that not many people or no one knows about? Maybe something you guys have done individually or together. You're like, you know what? We're just so proud we did this one thing, and we didn't promote about it. We didn't, you know, share it on social media, but it meant a lot to you guys.
For me, I'm just going to go with the first thing that came to mind. I don't want to think about it too hard, but, it's actually more of a lifestyle choice. I would say our moderation but considering the scene we're in and the environment we're in all the time, whether it's, you know, bottle service club in Vegas or touring and just having booze in our face all the time.
Just living in LA, you know.
Exactly. Mm. Well, we don't go out much though. So last night we got invited
to a party and we were standing in the corner sipping slowly one drink the entire night.
We don't belong. I'd say it's like maintaining a healthy lifestyle, and that's something, you know, between hiking, working out, eating healthy, like this stuff
paleo.
Right here. Mm-hmm. And like even with drinking, I probably have a glass of red wine like once every couple weeks with dinner. And coming from a girl who used to be like, even before Cruella came out, I was a hardcore clubber. I used to love clubbing and just drinking. And I was, you know, I guess it was new to me and like going to clubs and having a fake ID. So coming from that lifestyle temptation and then touring and then who I am now, I feel like I'm proud of that, you know, my moderation in that way. Yeah. And I think that goes back to how we were raised, being raised Muslim, being raised in a household where there was like alcohol was haram, which means just not allowed at all in the house. And
forbidden.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think right now we've kind of found this balance between this liberated lifestyle and this liberated celebratory lifestyle and this like really modest upbringing that we have. Mm. And right now I feel like we've found that balance.
Wow.
Still finding it too.
Okay. Awesome. And what about you?
I love what you said. I really love that.
Thank you.
Because I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Mm. I'm proud of Yasmin too. Could that be another thing I'm proud of?
Oh.
My little sister.
Yeah.
Thank you. That means a lot. I am proud of something that hasn't happened yet, but I'm in the process of doing. You actually don't know this either. But last August, I started writing a book. You know, the reason I'm only saying this is because you're a writer and because I feel like it's relevant. I'm a huge reader. Mm. And one of my dreams in life is to be like an editor for Simon & Schuster or something. Sure. It probably wouldn't happen. So you got to go to college for that. And that's another step. But it's a work of fiction based on a lot of things we've been through in the music industry. Huh. And I'm like a quarter of the way through it because it takes so long to write a book. I don't even know how you finished one. I read books all the time. I'm like, how do these people find the time?
It's a lot of work, a lot of energy.
A year has gone by and I'm a quarter of the way through. So I'm going to be very proud when I finish that someday.
When are you
going to
finish it?
I don't know. I don't have a set because it's not my main priority.
Gotcha.
It's the thing I do on long flights. I started it on the flight to Japan last August.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't know about it.
Well, I know you always talk about it. You're like, someday I'll be.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Interesting.
So is it like fantasy fiction?
No, it's It's kind of, it's definitely based off of a lot of our experiences in the music industry, but changing stories and kind of making it into
exaggerating them or whatever. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. Making them more interesting.
You should write a script for a TV show.
Oh my God. That would be crazy. I'm not an insanely good writer. I just love books and reading and writing in general, just that whole field. And I feel like we have been through so much that I would love to share our experiences in a different storytelling way, not the exact way it happened, but just to give some insight on, I don't know, what all this does to you in this industry.
What are two books that you say speak to you the most? If someone read those books, they would understand your experience or get a little bit of you.
I always have to name drop this book because it's one of my favorite books of all time. It's called The Gargoyle by Andrew Davidson. Huh. And it is one of those stories that becomes more of an outlandish fantasy thing, but it starts as a very realistic book about this cynical asshole porn star, actually. Huh. And this horrible thing that happens to him that transforms his entire life. And it's one of those transformation books that you read by the end, you're like, I have come away with so much knowledge of living vicariously through this character that doesn't even exist.
Wow.
And so I love that book so much. Another book. I'm a huge fantasy fan. I gotta drop another fantasy one, but it's actually Kevin's recommendation, Fireblood. It's this incredible fantasy.
Fireblood.
It is an incredible fantasy series, not cheesy whatsoever, insane character development. And there's so many characters in that book that I'm one of those people, like I said earlier, I don't want to come out of bad situations jaded.
Mm-hmm.
And that book has a lot of characters that maintain their humanity from start to finish, and you get to watch their journey. So I like stories like that.
I feel like the author of Fireblood wears a trench coat.
Perhaps.
And like he has like a big skull ring.
Yes.
I'm imagining what his website looks like.
I sound like the biggest dork right now, but I love fantasy.
Cool.
Like Game of Thrones is my life.
Wow.
And it's like Jon Snow in Game of Thrones. Do you watch that?
I've only watched the first two episodes. I couldn't get into
it.
Oh,
damn. He's just one of those characters.
We're the 10% of people.
Everyone else is talking. I'm more of a House of Cards guy.
I've never seen it.
I used to watch it.
It's amazing. It's amazing. But
I might have to get into it because too many people have told me it's great.
I love it. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I've never even heard of those books, so thanks for those recommendations. What about you? One or two books?
I read nonfiction. I can't read fiction.
I cannot read fiction the same way.
I appreciate it, and I totally respect people that have the ability, the creativity, and the imagination to come up with stories. I think because of my little experience at University of Illinois at Chicago, I loved what I read and what I learned, and I like reading things that make me feel like a student in a way. I don't know why I like being in that place where it's something I can learn about that helps me shape my opinions and my worldview. I like Ryan Holiday. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I just interviewed him.
He's amazing.
He just
on this
on
show?
The podcast before this was Ryan Holiday. He was here last
week. That's awesome.
His book is up here. Ego is the Enemy.
I just started reading
that. He was the last
person
sitting in those chairs. Yes.
I really like
that's right
I've actually never
right
seen.
There. That's my
Which
favorite
one?
Book.
I don't
He's one
on.
Of my favorite authors. Have you read anything else by him? He's incredible.
There's Ego is the Enemy right there on the left.
I just started reading it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I like the way he thinks.
He's brilliant.
And he's very – I like how he made it a point to make every chapter kind of about stories of other people rather than himself.
That's what I did with my
and
book,
I like,
too.
With your book, too.
Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Ryan helped me write my book.
No
that's
way.
Awesome.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like how he's critical. I think as I've always been kind of a critical person, and I like being critical with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I like books that are like self-help. There's nothing wrong with a self-help book.
Oh,
but
great.
But kind of that remind me to like self-check myself also and to make me think like, oh, shit, I do that too. And that might be like a roadblock for me or something preventing me from pursuing something. And so I just like the way he thinks. He's very real and just straightforward and unapologetic too.
Yeah.
And not afraid to say certain things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great. The Alchemist is my favorite, I guess, fiction book. But it's
so good.
It's the only one I could read cover to cover in like a fiction book. It's amazing.
Many
right?
people have recommended that
have
book
you read
to
it yet?
Me. No, I haven't, but I will.
It's a game changer for me.
Have you read
me.
Ishmael by Daniel Quinn?
No.
You should read that book. It's incredible. Too. I actually just reordered it on Amazon. I have the hard copy now. But it's just about humanity and who we are as humans and what we're doing to ourselves, but in a very metaphorical sense.
Right.
It's a quick read as well, kind of like The Alchemist.
Cool.
So
I'll check it out.
Malala is another one.
have to.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yep. That's. I haven't read it, but I mean, if watch her amazing. Videos, I'd love to have her on. She seems incredible.
Oh my god, that would
I think
be crazy.
You absolutely should.
Yeah, she'd be incredible.
I was actually just speaking with someone from her team this morning because I would love to get involved with her foundation.
She's Pakistani,
somehow.
Right?
She is Pakistani. Yeah, yeah.
Didn't she just turn 19 or something?
18, I think, a couple of days ago. I'm actually not sure.
Crazy, huh?
It is crazy.
She's so grounded. And
yeah, because when I was 18, I was actually, when I was talking to someone from her team, I was like, when I was 18, I was taking selfies for my MySpace. Like the stuff that was right. important to me when I was 18. And look at Malala, who, you know, is fighting for, you know, rights of people mm-hmm. and trying to get women, young girls, education and having more young women in powerful positions. It's like the stuff yeah. that she's working on right now. I wish I could.
She's so ahead of her time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So mature for her age.
That's cool.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Okay. What are you guys both grateful for recently?
I like your questions.
Me too. I love thinking about
this is
stuff.
A great interview. What am I grateful for?
There's so many things.
What's the first thing yeah. that came to your mind, your most grateful point in your life right now?
I feel like saying family is obvious because we've talked about this mm-hmm. so much.
That's I'm trying to think of something yeah. other than family because that's the given.
I think, God, I mean, the same thing as family, just the people in my life. It all boils down to this, you know, just living and existing. And I think the reason why we've, you know, after being in this career, the reason we're so lucky is because we have a team and we have people. So many people are alone in this industry, whether it's touring alone, kind of figuring out their shit alone, whether you're an actor, musician.
Yeah.
And that can leave you to just question yourself all the time. But we have people kind of, we have people encouraging us all the time. And that's what every human deserves is that encouragement yeah. and that push and that reminder that you're talented and you're special. Which I don't think anyone's special. I kind of have that mindset where I'm like, no, we're all like lose the ego. We're not special. But, yeah, I think our team and our tribe, I like to use the word tribe actually. Feels a little more primal.
Yeah.
Riffing cool. off of that, we are surrounded. Like I said, sometimes in this industry, you get really jaded because of the people you come across, the things people do to you. But our team is full of those just genuinely really good people.
Yeah.
That would never do anything bad to anyone. And I love knowing that we're surrounded by people like that.
That's nice.
That I have full confidence that they are just good humans and that I'm so grateful for. And then even riffing off that, just the success we've had to be able to put food in our fridge,
yeah.
food in our dog's bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, be able to live the way we do.
To do what you love. Probably, yeah. And make, you know, make money doing what you love.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the ultimate.
There is nothing better than that. Oh my gosh.
I'm definitely grateful for that. When you say food, it's just the most important things that every single human needs on this planet.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, shelter, food, or good food, good quality food.
Yes.
Because one issue in America is that the cheap food is the shitty food.
Yep.
And every time I even go to Whole Foods, I'm like, I'm so grateful
yeah,
to be able to buy good meat.
Every time I walk through that door, I'm like, I'm so lucky. Yeah. Thank you for being, yeah.
So it's these very like fundamental needs, human needs that I'm grateful for.
Okay. I have two final questions. And before I ask them, I want to know what should we send people to go follow? You've got the tour. Where's the website? Cruella.com, right? Where
Cruella.com/sweatbox
is
for the tour. I'm 99% sure it's a sold out tour, but we are
it's already sold out.
It is, but we're announcing new dates very soon.
Okay, so sign up for the newsletter. Exactly. You'll have updates.
Yeah. You can sign up on Cruella.com. And then our Twitter is just /Cruella. Mm-hmm. Our Instagram is /Cruella. Our SoundCloud is Cruella Music.
Mm. But there's outside, sorry, politics stuff going on with SoundCloud and our label. You're not going to get all the music on SoundCloud.
Spotify.
Unfortunately.
Spotify. Find us on Spotify. Yeah. I'm a big Spotify user.
I like Spotify
I like
too.
Spotify.
And you guys have personal accounts as well on everywhere or no?
Yeah. Cruella Yasmin, Cruella Jahan.
Okay. So we'll link it all up on the show notes for you. Yeah. Is there anything else we should tell people to get, to buy, to
We just released our last EP a month and a half ago, Ammunition. And it is on Spotify and iTunes and all that jazz.
But if they listen to it on Spotify, you still get paid, right? Doesn't that work like that?
I think we get a penny.
Something very minuscule.
I probably made you a lot of money on YouTube.
Hey.
Because I just watched on repeat.
Yeah, thank you.
You mean you made Columbia money?
You got a piece,
but it's
right?
Cool.
You made like $4 from me.
Honestly, the outreach is all that really matters when it comes to those things. We just want as many people to hear our music as possible. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll share spread the message.
Thank you.
Okay. This is a question I ask everyone at the end. I ask these two final questions and you both get to answer this. It's called the Three Truths. It's called the Three Truths. So at the end of the day, many, many years from now, it's the last day for both of you. You're both there. You've got all your family and friends. Everyone you care about is there. But everything you've ever created is erased from time. The music, the books you want to write, everything is gone. And you have your family that says, okay, well, here's a pen and paper for both of you. And we want you to write down the three things you know to be true about everything you've experienced in your life. That would essentially be like the message you'd give to us since we don't have any of your work anymore. So what would be your three truths, the three things you know to be true about your experience that you'd pass on? We'll start with the youngest.
I think the first thing would have to be in my dad's voice in my head, be a good person. He tells us that all the time. I love this quote, and I think I'll use it as a truth. The meaning of life is to have a life of meaning.
Mm.
I love that quote. What is my last one?
Oh, I love that one.
And I guess the last one, I think about this a lot because in our industry, it's so money focused and success driven and everyone's hustling. If you don't have people you love more than anything to share your success with, it is worth nothing.
Those are solid.
Okay.
I like those. Those are great. Team. Okay.
I like what you said about a life full of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Say love is the answer. That's something we've heard before. Be real with yourself and don't lie to yourself, because I think it's so easy to kind of live in this world of illusion where you don't want to face the truth about how you feel about yourself, how you feel about others, how you feel about what you're doing. That's something I try to remind myself every day. And then that success isn't based on what you've achieved financially or what kind of, or not based on fame either. What I've come to realize, like what success really means to me, is sometimes what you said, that your ability to, you know, go into nature and to, you know, have a family dinner. To me, that's success. And our dad actually always says,
I love this quote.
Yes, it's our grandfather's quote, actually. Actually, I don't know if it's really his quote. It might be someone else's that was passed down. But he said, success is measured by the happiness of your children. And I think that's so humbling. Not like we have kids, but it just strips away everything, you know, image, fame, achievements. And it just boils it down to just the peace and happiness of your children, what kind of life they're living. I love the simplicity of that.
That's cool.
Awesome. I like that question, though.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, those are great answers.
Thank you.
Before I ask the very final question, I want to take a moment to acknowledge you both for the incredible gifts that you both bring to the world. You guys are a symbol of authenticity, of realness, of like raw energy and passion. Like everything you guys do, I think of like real passion.
Thank you.
You're a symbol of empowerment for so many women in the world who probably don't have the courage to go after their dreams. And you guys are living it. You're doing it as a family and you're uplifting so many people. So
Thank
I just want to acknowledge you both for being incredible human beings
Thank
and,
you.
and also for coming on here.
It means a lot to me. Of course. We're so honored. Thank you.
This is probably one of my favorite interviews. Think we got a great model for that too.
Cool.
Just really getting to know someone and just genuinely being interested in what they're saying.
Yeah.
And back to family too, because it was such a theme in everything we talked about. With like everything going on in the world, we talk about this a lot, whether it's, you know, gun violence or these mass terror attacks. I think what it all boils down to is you could say like gun laws, you know, education is really just family.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, like, we're losing sense of that family unit in this country and that community. And I think that's so important for your sense of self and knowing that you have people that are relying on you and people you can rely on. And that's what keeps you in check. And I think that's an issue in this country. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. There's so many factors. It could be like social media addiction or fame obsession or whatever it is. But I think that family unit is the most important thing.
That's great. That's great. Okay. Final question for both of you.
Okay.
What is your definition of greatness? We'll let you start this time.
Oh, shit. Okay. Definition of greatness.
Hashtag greatness.
Oh my God, my definition of greatness. I'm thinking about the effect you have on others to inspire people and influence people, to guide people, while being real with yourself and while being vulnerable. So that's this fine balance between being a leader and being powerful, but also vulnerable and sensitive.
Mm, that's great. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Definition.
Mine is similar because I think greatness is a mix of authenticity, but then still being able to relate as many people as possible. I always use this reference lately because they've done it so perfectly. 21 Pilots. I don't know if you're a fan of the band.
Sure.
We love them. They have managed to reach everyone. They are so mainstream now, but never lose that sense of self and true to their weirdness, their awkwardness, their just individuality. And I think that is so inspiring to see people who are truly themselves up on a stage in front of thousands of people and touching every single person in the crowd. And I'm relating it to a crowd because that's how I relate to, but that's just in everything in life.
Ladies, I appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
coming
Lewis.
I can't wait to read your book too.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. There you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this one. I loved connecting with these sisters. They're just so full of love and light and energy and positivity, and they're up to big things. I love seeing women who are supporting one another, who are lifting others up, who are creating things that are impactful and that are pursuing their passion. They're just such a great example of what's possible in the world. What's possible when you pursue a dream, when you pursue a gift that is burning inside of you. We can create so much more than we even think is possible if we just go after it. If we start in the process, if we take the steps, cultivate our gifts, bring people around us to support us in making our gifts come to life. These women are doing it. Make sure to follow them. Subscribe to the podcast. If this is your first time here, just subscribe over on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Stitcher. And check out the full show notes and video interview over at lewishouse.com/355. And if you enjoyed this interview, if you love the ladies of Cruella, then please share this out with your friends and tag at Cruella. And you can tag both of their Twitter and Instagram names as well, which will be back on the show notes, lewishouse.com/355. You can connect with both Jahan and Yasmin over there as well and let them know what you thought. I appreciate you guys so very much. And I want you to know that you are so special. You are so worthy and you matter so very much. And, you know, as I go around the country speaking and doing workshops and events, I meet so many people that don't believe in themselves. So many people that feel like they don't matter. And I want you to know that for many, many years growing up, I felt like I didn't matter. And it's horrible feeling inside. It's the most lonely, depressing feeling to feel like you don't matter, like you don't belong. And I want you to know that you do belong. And you do matter. The most important step is first believing in it yourself. Even when you feel like it's hard to believe, even when there's evidence showing you otherwise, I want you to know that you matter so much and you are so worth it. Continue to hold on to that, believe in that, and start moving towards your gifts. Start doing things that light you up, that make your heart sing. And each day will get better and better. I promise you that. I love you guys. I hope you enjoyed this one.
And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
With chocolate treats mixed into dark chocolate ice cream, the Tillamook Chocolate Collection is a chocolate game changer. Because the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection Ice Cream. Extraordinary dairy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.